This is University Beats. I'm Mark Schreiner. Over the last two decades, the letters CTE, short for Chronic Traumatic Encephalopathy, have become synonymous with the National Football League. How the media covers football and players' brain injuries is the subject of a new book, CTE, Media, and the NFL, framing a public health crisis as a football epidemic. I'm joined by two of the book's three authors, University of South Florida's Zimmerman School of Advertising and Mass Communications faculty members, Travis Bell and Janelle Applequist. Janelle, tell me some of what you learned about this three-sided relationship.
We knew that there was definitely something going on with the way that the media was reporting on this, particularly in how the NFL would respond to a lot of the criticisms that it would get surrounding CTE. We noticed right away that it paralleled with the way that Big Tobacco would respond whenever research was coming out showing that cigarettes were in fact bad for your health. And it also kind of paralleled with the responses that we saw in the media during the AIDS epidemic in the 80s and how people responded to that. There's some misinformation, some missing information.
There's such a business relationship between media and the NFL. How much control do you think the NFL has on their business partners on this subject?
So I think in terms of a business partner, more from the broadcast side, I think is the big challenge in that regard, right? I mean, ESPN is one of the broadcast entities who provides billions of dollars to the National Football League. But that's where I think the newspaper coverage was really important to examine because of its history with, I think, newspapers' willingness to challenge large American corporations in their reporting, especially the New York Times, which was at the forefront of a lot of this. I find it interesting that how did media try to grapple with this in reporting this potentially deadly outcome from playing this sport, yet still wanting to make sure that it's in every day's newspaper about who won, what's the fantasy sports implications, all of these sports things that newspapers and media in general still thrive on.
How do you think not just the media, but America's glorification of the NFL plays a role in the coverage?
It plays a huge role in this, and we are cognizant of the fact that football is synonymous with America. It's also important to be conscious, critical consumers of that industry because there's still a responsibility that the NFL has to its players, but also to its fans in terms of how it's responding. We're not arguing that this should go away, although some of the medical researchers on CTE would certainly argue that, but there has to be proper protocols put in place in order to protect the players. And that extends beyond the NFL. That extends to college football, to high school football, particularly youth football, because they're at the highest risk of developing something like this.
Now, what recommendations would you have for the media in how they cover the subject of brain injuries and CTE?
I think if media is willing to not only talk about it and sort of self-reflect on what role do they play in this process, and then making sure that the reporting is actually done with due diligence to ensure that anyone who is at risk is in the conversation. So if there's a greater prevalence of concussions between female soccer players and men's soccer players, right? If females are at greater risk, why is that not talked about, right? I think taking away from this book that this is not a gendered thing, it's not a football thing, it is a repeated head trauma thing.
Janelle Applequist and Travis Bell, University of South Florida faculty members, thank you again for joining us on University Beat.
Thank you.
You can find out more about the book and how the authors think the media's coverage of CTE fits in with how it covers other NFL-related controversies on our webpage, wusfnews.org. For University Beat, I'm Mark Schreiner.